learned last week, we learned about the vision of our church. And a part of that teaching, as Pastor Dave was sharing, he talked about the mission of our church. And the mission of our church is to make disciples. We are here to make sure that you are growing and developing in your walk with the Lord. And so this teaching today kind of goes hand in hand with what we learned last week. And so this is a discipleship weekend. We've paused the book of John just for this week, and we'll be jumping right back into it next week. But I would like for you to go ahead, if you would, go ahead and turn to a different gospel. We're going to be looking at the book of Mark together. We're going to be starting right there in Mark chapter 1. So if you would, go ahead and turn there with me or grab your phone and push that button that says Mark, and we'll be there today. As you're turning, I've brought up this citrus tree. I am a fifth-generation Floridian, and so our family, we love citrus. That's what my grandparents and great-grandparents did for many years is they had orange groves down in Vero Beach. And so that's a part of us, and so my wife always jokes around. She says, anytime that you use an illustration, you always have to go buy something, and usually it's something that you want. And so I'm justified this purchase of mine by buying a new lime tree. And so, but this lime tree, I want it to help us understand what we're going to be learning today. You see, today we're going to see an invitation that Jesus is giving to the disciples, an invitation that will radically change their life. What would you say if I were to give you this tree today? And when I gave it to you, I gave you an invitation on what I wanted you to do with it. Your goal was to keep this tree alive for 1 year. And if you did it, there was a reward. That reward would be that you would receive $1 billion. Anybody like that idea? Now, let me ask you this question. With that invitation, with that gift, would that change your life for that year? Would that change how you would process things, how you would think of things, how you would schedule things out? I can think of it right now. If I were given this gift and I were given that charge, I can see what I would do with my family. It would radically change my family. Every day, every hour, somebody would have their eye on this tree. I would care for it. I would nurture it. I might not work as much. Things would be different in my life. Well, today, what would I tell you if the invitation that Jesus is giving to his disciples, to those men that will become his followers, that invitation is far more powerful, worth so much more than $1 billion. And that invitation is something that he also gives to you and to me. How does it radically change our lives? You see, this weekend, we're going to be talking about discipleship. What it means, how to define it, and how it changes who we are. All right, you've turned to the book of Mark. We're looking at Mark chapter 1. We're going to be starting at verse 16. In verse 16, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and they followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with a hired man, and followed him. We see this invitation that Jesus gives, this powerful invitation of calling these men, these fishermen, these ordinary people, to follow him. This invitation and that word to follow, that shows what Christianity is really all about. You see, Christianity is not about a theological system. It's not about things that we have to do. You know what? It's not even about what we talked about in our announcement of helping others. But Christianity, at the very root, at the very beginning, is all about just following Jesus. That's Christianity today. And when these men heard Jesus call to them and tell them to follow him, they knew exactly what that meant. You see, rabbis of that day, those rabbis, they would call disciples to come to be with them. Now, when they would call them to be with them, this was not like what we see today. What they knew was that their lives would be totally, radically changed if they received that invitation, that they would learn, that they would grow under that individual. And Jesus, at this point, he was known as rabbi. He was known as the teacher. And so he wasn't saying, come follow me, let's go take a walk on the beach here at the Sea of Galilee. He was saying, you're going to learn from me. I'm going to teach you. You're going to see how I do things. And I'm going to train you for what is next. And again, this wasn't like a classroom training. This was hands-on. When I was in college, and even growing up, I was kind of an apprentice of my father. My father ran a small business. He ran an irrigation company here in Florida. If irrigation companies in Florida, guess what? There's always business, isn't there? Except for right after a hurricane. But as I would learn, I didn't go to school for that. It was all hands-on. It was how he did things. It was why he did things. And I would watch him, and then I would learn how to also do it. That's what Jesus was calling these disciples to do, was to be an apprentice of him. And so today, when we look at this passage, I want to really kind of go through what this outline looks like for the teaching today. So you'll see it here on the screen. The outline is the first thing that we will see that God has always been God's plan to dwell with his people. The second is that really I want to help answer that question about what discipleship really is. And then the third, about how we follow Jesus. And I'm going to introduce seven disciplines that we are launching here at the church that will help us in that process. Now, the very first one, it has always been God's plan to dwell with his people. We're going to see that, and we're going to go through really quick, kind of in a survey of the scriptures. We'll start at the very first book, and we will go all the way through Revelation. So go ahead and grab your pillows, because no, we're going to go through it really quick. But we're going to see that desire. This past week, I actually read an article about a man that caught the baseball that Mark McGwire hit, that home run that would change the records. Now there's an asterisk next to the record that he had. But that baseball, that man that caught it, he was going to give it back to Mark McGwire. And to give it back to him, he had one caveat, and that caveat was that he had to meet Mark McGwire. He desired to meet him. It was kind of his boyhood hero, and he wanted to meet the man. And, well, Mark McGwire told him no. Well, later on, that man, just months later, sold that baseball for $3 million. It was worth a lot, but this man wanted the chance to meet Mark McGwire. Jesus, God, he wants to dwell with us. He wants that connection with us. So this primary theme that we will see all throughout the scripture, or you'll see it here on the screen, is that God has always wanted to dwell with his people. From the very beginning. And so today you might be sitting here. Maybe you're in high school. Maybe you're in college. Maybe you're in different seasons that are hard. Maybe you're a senior and this was a hard season for you. And maybe you even feel far away from God. Well, I want to encourage you, knowing that God, his desire is that connection with you. He is chasing after you. He's chasing after me. He wants that connection. He wants to dwell with us. And so you'll see as you kind of go through the scripture, I just kind of pinpointed a few of them here that you see on the screen. The first one is Genesis. Well, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God dwelt with Adam. And when he dwelt with Adam, he dwelt with Eve, and it was there in the Garden of Eden. I think we have that here on the screen, if you wouldn't mind. And when they dwelt together, they had that connection. That oneness. Remember that God would walk with them in the garden. But then something changed. As the first man and as the first woman were in that garden, there was the first sin. And there was that separation. Well, take a look here at what Exodus through 2 Samuel. We see how God dwelt with his people. Because there was kind of that divide, there was that separation, and God still wanted to dwell with his people, he did it in a tabernacle. He did it in a tent. And the people would carry that tent. They would carry the Ark of the Covenant. They would go through the desert. They would carry it with them. They would carry it with them into battle because God was with them. And so God would dwell there in the tabernacle. But in Kings, through 2 Chronicles, we see that God dwelt with his people, not in a tent, but now in a temple. And so we see that dwelling, that place was there. It was on that high hill there in Jerusalem. But then God sent Jesus. You see, God wanted that oneness, and he knew that the only way to get rid of that sin problem that would separate man was to send a Savior. And Jesus is known as Emmanuel, which means that God is with us. And as Jesus came, things changed. And you see in Acts, you see as Jesus then left this earth, then that he would send the Holy Spirit. Remember a couple weeks ago, we learned about how the Holy Spirit wants that connection, that relationship with us. And so in Acts, we see that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. Now you and I, it's not a temple, a building. We're the temple. It's us. And that God is dwelling within believers in Jesus. And then in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, that God doesn't just want to dwell with us here on earth, that he wants to dwell with us for eternity, forever in heaven with God. I know that was a lot of information. And so, how do we go through that? How is that kind of summed up? Well, here's some of the themes from those scriptures. Remember, the key themes of the scripture is that God always wanted to dwell with his people. We saw that in Genesis all the way to Revelation. We see that sin in those very few first chapters of Genesis, it separated us from God. But then we see also as we go through those scriptures that we can follow Jesus because of the gospel and because of the Holy Spirit. And the last thing that I really feel is important as you look through the scriptures is that I know myself. I know that I can be weak. I know who I am. But knowing that God is more committed to us than even we ever could be to him. It's that commitment, that love that he has for you because there's that desire to dwell with us. And so that was the very first part of that understanding that all throughout the scripture what this was. But what about discipleship? Discipleship. If I were to ask pastors from our church here in Vieira or even pastors in the whole county, how would you define discipleship? Well, they would probably come up with 25, 30, 50, 100 different answers of what that is. But really, when you go back to it and you find out what we just read in the book of Mark, and we see that invitation that Jesus gave, discipleship is all about following Jesus. John would record Jesus' words in John 12, 26. If anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me. And in that following, in that connection, you'll see discipleship is someone that is dedicated to following Jesus together with other disciples. That is what we see in the scriptures as a definition of discipleship. And I believe that that right there, and it kind of encompasses who we are at our church and what discipleship is all about is following Jesus. And the blessing with it all is that we get to do it with each other. Now, as you go back to the book of Mark again, remember what happened, and it happened quickly. That when they received that invitation, what did they do? They went. They left everything right there. They left the nets. And I find it kind of interesting. When they left the two brothers, they left the father there. Can you imagine that? The father of Zebedee, he just kind of just stares there and he's like, where are you going? I just lost my two good helpers. But the word follow, a lot of times in the world we're in today, we think of social media. I follow this person, and it's kind of a very casual relationship. You know, I follow with people that I really like. I follow people that also give good information. I follow people that give really bad information. And so I know that when I follow Jesus, though, it's completely different. It's the best information. It's the information that I need, to learn under. And so when I follow him, I'm walking with him. I'm learning from his life. I'm learning what he's told us and how to live. Back to this tree just for a moment. That invitation of taking care of this tree, again, it radically changed how I would live my life. The invitation of following Jesus, does that radically change who we are? How we schedule things? Our priorities? Because really, what we see through the scripture is that a disciple is to be a child of the cross. A child of the cross. Well, what does that mean? Take a look here at what Mark 8:34 says. And then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their lives will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." You see, when we look at this, we see that, you know what, there is something that happens when we follow Jesus, is putting him as the priority of our lives. When I do this, I daily choose to follow Jesus. It's a thing that happens daily. And when I daily choose to follow Jesus, it is no longer my opinions that matter most, but it is his. It is no matter my way, but it's his way. You see, disciples know that it is thee always above me. That's the disciple. It's him. And so that's what being a child of the cross is all about. Paul would ask this question, or Peter would ask this question. He would say, as things are getting bad, as things are even going to get harder, and that's hard for us to even believe as this world continues to go, and as those growing pains continue to happen, that things get harder, it gets rougher. But as that happens, what kind of person ought we be? We're to be holy, and we're to live godly lives. But being a child of the cross, what does that mean? It means that we deny ourselves to live for him. It means that we look at things differently. When I look at things through the eyes and the lens of God, the world might say that it's okay, that the world might say that it's right, but God's word, the true word, it says that it's different. It's a different way to live, and that's always the right way. There's a different attitude. There's a different generosity. There's the fruits of the Spirit to be able to live, to show who God is. It's not one foot in, one foot out. To be in a child of God, it says that, you know what, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose my life. I'm going to lose my opinions, my thoughts, to be able to put him number one. In Luke 9:23, it says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and to follow me. I remember when I was in high school and I had a youth pastor, and this youth pastor, his name was Todd Tidswell. And Todd Tidswell, as he was teaching, I remember one of the teachings that he gave, he talked about that daily commitment to God, that in a year, it's 365 days. In a day, it's 24 hours a day. And I remember as he taught that, he used kind of an illustration about his wife. I remember Tiffany Tidswell. And as he brought up his wife, he said, now, How would it be if for 364 days out of the year that I dedicated myself to you? And out of that, out of all of those days, that last day, 23 hours of that day, I dedicated to you. But I had that 1 hour of that year, and I was not faithful. Would that totally taint everything in our lives together? You see, that's the same way that it is with God. Sometimes we're like, you know what, God, you can have all of this, but you can't have this. I'm not willing to give this up. But to be a disciple of Jesus, a true disciple, it gives it all up. And it says, you I will live for. It is thee above me. Now, here's some other key things, and it comes through Matthew 28. I believe this is really important for us. Let's look at this together on the screen. Matthew 28, 18. And then Jesus came to them, and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, after Jesus died and after he rose again, he called his disciples to go on mission. As they had learned and as they have developed, he called them to also then go and to make disciples. As many of you over the last couple of days, you were probably picking some stuff up in your yard. Well, at our home, we have quite a few acres. We have a little family farm. And we had quite a bit of debris. And so I remember after every single hurricane going out into this same yard, and we would pick up all these things that looked very similar. And so as I went out there, my boys went with me, and then next thing you know, my dad comes out there. And these were things that I did with him. And as my dad came out there, as my boys came out there, there was three generations right there. And then my grandmother came out. And she sat on the porch and told us all the pieces that we missed. You missed that piece, you missed that piece. But as we were cleaning that up, I couldn't help but think, you know what? As I'm trying to pass this on to my kids, you know, to just go out there and just take care of things. And I was so blessed that just hours later, my other son would come up to me, and he was out there in the yard with me, got all dirty. And by the way, I've got tilapia all over my yard right now. Our pond overflowed. And he came to me, and he said, you know what, Dad, can I go and help Uncle Dustin clean his yard? I was like, yeah, let's go. Let's go do it. And then Pastor Steve at our Melbourne campus, he had he just had knee surgery, and I could just see him out there trying to pick stuff up. And my boys went out there and helped him. You see, my goal in our family is to make disciples of my boys. I want them to see it, but they're seeing it firsthand. They're kind of an apprentice in my view, and who I am. And as I teach them, they are learning, they're developing, they're not perfect, but neither is their daddy, but they're growing. See, my goal is to make disciples of them so that one day, whenever they have children of their own, that they will go and make disciples as well. But you know what? That should be who we are as a church as well. You see, every follower of Jesus is called to be a disciple who makes disciples. And in that making of a disciple, it's to equip others to follow Jesus. I'm going to repeat that one more time, and you'll see it here on the screen. Every follower of Jesus is called to be a disciple. Any followers of Jesus in here? And as a disciple, we're to be a disciple who makes disciples, equipping others to follow Jesus. Now you might be thinking, all right, now, Pastor, You might be able to show your kids how to pick up sticks. Watch, you know what? I can do that. I can do that. I can pick up sticks and show my kids how to do that. And, you know, we all could do that. But if I'm struggling with being a disciple myself, how can I teach that to the next generation? How can I teach that to people in my neighborhood? How does that happen? Well, that's what this next part of how to follow Jesus is so important. You see, because how we follow Jesus, remember, he is the one that is doing the heavy lifting. I'm just a follower. And as a follower, I just do what he says to do when he says to do it. I just follow him. He's the one that does all of the hard work because he is all powerful. He is the one that has given the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit for our lives. And remember, he is more committed to us than we are even to him. And so we're going to go through spiritual disciplines. And when you think of spiritual disciplines, I know I remember being in high school and I remember thinking right away, spiritual disciplines, okay, here we go, legalism. Well, that's not what I'm talking about here today, because there is always that worry when you look at spiritual disciplines. It's like, well, are you doing it the right way? You know, if I looked at my son and I was like, you're picking up that stick the wrong way, bend your knees, or you'll end up like Pastor Steve. No, I'm joking. But that legalism, and when you look at that, here's two quotes that I believe that will help us out with this. The first one is from Willard. Dallas Willard said this, grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. You see, the grace that God gives, it's not something that we earn. It's a gift. It's free. But it does take an effort. And that effort is part of those spiritual disciplines for our lives. Those are things that we have to work towards, things that we put into place. But remember, it's not something that we're earning. And John said this, you'll see it here on the screen, that spiritual transformation is not a matter of trying harder, but training wisely. Yesterday, I needed to drain the water to our hot tub. It started, you know, smelling a little bit. So I went out there and I had just a little hose, and I was going to siphon the water out. And I started doing that. And I'm like, man, this is going to take forever. Well, then I found another hose, and that hose was a 2-inch pipe. So I went out there and I grabbed that 2-inch pipe and I stuck it into the hot tub and I pulled it out on the porch and I siphoned it out. That thing drained in 5 minutes. Because that part, that tool was much better than the other one. You see, God, with our spiritual disciplines, with our journey, with our discipleship, it's not something that we earn, but it is something that we work hard to. And God wants us to do it wisely. It's because that's who he is, and that's how he wants us to operate. It's not something that we're yearning towards, not something that we're striving towards, that we're spending. He wants it to be something as we're just following him, and it's falling into place. Well, that's what the New Testament believers did. Here we see in Acts 2:24, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles, to their teaching and to the fellowship, to breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and the signs by the apostles. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold their property, their possessions, to give to everyone who was in need. And every day they committed to meeting together into the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all of the people. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, as you look at this just short couple of verses, we are going to pull these 7 disciplines that I believe that God has spoken into our church that will help us in the discipleship journey. The 7 disciplines you'll see here on the screen, the first one is that we gather to worship. Now, can everybody say check that's here right now? We've gathered today. Check. Discipline one. Good job. What about the second one here? We're spending time with Jesus. Remember, he desires to dwell with us, that relationship, that connection. And if I'm really going to truly follow him, then I need to spend time with him to grow, to disciple, that apprenticeship of discipleship. What about, did y'all spend time with Jesus today? Are we doing that right now? Can y'all say, check. Third one is to connect with community. After the service, we have coffee in the commons. Grab a cup of coffee. Connect with someone. Start different relationships. And then turn to them and say, check, if you would. But having that connection and that community, it's not just inside these walls, but it's also out of these walls and that connection with a community group, doing life together, and the importance of that. And in those community groups and different groups that we have here at the church, we really do help out with this next one, and that's fighting for freedom. And that fighting for freedom, we have different support groups here at the church that help that fight. We have biblical counseling. We have a great group here that really helps those that are in need and in those seasons of life that are really hard. And so we have different support groups to be able to help with that here at Calvary, not just within these walls, but also outside in our community. The next one is to join a serve team. We see the disciples, they served each other. They were working together. And what would happen is that people were growing. And that those congregations, that church was growing daily, it said. And so we join a serve team. You know, right now there's opportunities all over this church to be able to use the gifts that God has given you to serve. I want to encourage you to look into that. There's opportunities with that. There's opportunities right now in our children's ministry and inside of our children's ministry. You know what our goal is? To disciple those young children and youth, to help them to develop that foundation on Jesus, not to learn legalism, but to start that foundation. The next one is something that I've been challenged with this year, one that I'm going to say, you know what? I need some work on that, and that is to live on mission. To live on mission, it can be right here in this community, it can be right here in our neighborhood, but it also can be on missions, going out of this country. The last couple of years, we haven't done many missions trips. I haven't led a trip in years. But that's something that I'm going to work on this year, is to make sure that I'm staying on mission. The next one and the final one is to invest our resources. Our greatest resource that we have with our lives is our time, to invest that. Also to invest our treasure, what God has given us. Now, these seven disciplines, these you might think, all right, well, that's not really new, and that's really true. It's new of how we're saying it, but it is old because for thousands of years, disciples of Jesus Christ have put these things into practice. And I'm not saying right now that, you know what, I gave a few checks. You've already checked a few of those today. But in those checking, we're not asking that you go through and check all of these here tomorrow. But what we are encouraging is that you pray and that maybe you add one or two this year. Because these are very important in that discipleship process. Now, I'm going to really encourage us with these two questions. Because I believe that these two questions, as I kind of put these down this week, really challenged me. The first question is, am I a disciple of Jesus? Am I truly following behind him? Am I taking that investment that he has given me, that invitation, and running with it as I walk with him? Second one is, that am I a discipleship maker? Am I an equipper? Am I helping others to be able to follow Jesus? You know, those two things right there, those two questions, I really want us to be thinking about this week. Am I a true discipleship, a disciple of Jesus? Am I following him? Or am I following with him only halfway? I'm not really a child of the cross. I'm not denying my own self, my own flesh, my own sinful desires. And am I also then helping others? Am I equipping others? Well, as we look at those, let's look here at two steps that we can take right now to make sure that we are moving towards being a disciple. The first one is, I want to encourage us to spend 15 minutes every morning, every day, with Jesus. Now, every morning, my best time of the day is not in the morning. And that's something that I always look at is, when I spend that a little bit of time in the morning with Jesus, that my best time is later on in the day. Usually right before lunch. When I start getting hungry, I know, you know what, this is Jesus time. Lord, help me not to be able to eat what I want to eat. No, joking. But that time to be able to spend with him, it's not just in the morning, it's during the day. Second one is that I want to encourage us to look at joining a group, to getting involved. On the new app, you'll see different groups that are on there, and right now we are really praying about adding more. I'll get to that here in just a second. But let's pick one of those, and let's try it. The second thing is that the second step of being and moving towards being an equipper. Being an equipper, let me encourage you to invite someone to follow you. Invite someone to follow you to church. Every single weekend, I get introduced to somebody that came because somebody invited them to come to church, to worship with them. Great job. That's awesome. But it's not just being a part of the church, but maybe it's a group or an event. You know, we have a women's conference getting ready to start here, and that women's conference, invite someone to come with you. They're going to be encouraged. They're going to be challenged. They're going to be changed when they leave. This week, we have AIM later on today, and Adventures in Marriage. Come, be a part of that. Invite someone to come with you if you already come. You know what happens on Monday? On Monday, we have our monthly prayer meeting. In our Monday monthly prayer meeting, invite someone to come pray with you. Or invite someone that might need prayer that day because we'll have one of our elders here. Let me tell you something, they would love to be able to spend time with them and to pray over them. And so there's different opportunities for us to invite people to be a part of it, to follow you. Second one is to become a group leader. We're in need of groups here at this church. Every week I get asked, is there a new community group that I can be a part of? Pray about being a group leader. And in those groups, that doing life together, the way that God has called us to do, not to do it by ourselves, it's changing. It's life-changing. And so let me encourage you with those two questions and kind of some solutions to it. But really, remember the theme. It has always been God's desire to dwell with his people. And to dwell with God, we see here in Psalm 84 about how beautiful that is. Psalm 84, verse 1, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord mighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord, my heart. My flesh cries out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home. The swallow a nest for herself, where she has her young, a place near to your altar, Lord Almighty, my King, my God. This psalm is beautiful, but it's all about having a relationship with God. Maybe right now, where you're at, you're far from God. Remember what I said earlier in the teaching that God chases after you? He wants that connection with you. He wants to dwell with you. And you might be far from him, but he is not far from you. And that invitation that Jesus gives, he extends it to you, he extends it to you right now. And he says, follow me. Come into my family. To do that, that starts with having a personal relationship with Jesus, not just a knowledge of him, of saying, you know what, I'm going to become a child of the cross, I'm going to deny myself, and I'm going to put Jesus at the front. If that's where you're at right now, I would ask that you would just bow your heads. Let's all bow our heads. And for Christians, would you just be praying? Would you pray for those that are around us, maybe our neighbors, maybe even somebody that we invited to church, for God to speak to them? If that's where you're at right now and you feel far away from the Lord, or maybe you've never received him into your life, would you just repeat this prayer after me? Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, I need you. I'm distant from you right now. And I want that connection with you. Lord, would you come into my life? I choose you, Lord, because you first chose me. Jesus, I receive you into my life. Come in and change me, Lord, and help me to live for you. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and for what you've done. Thank you for sending Jesus to solve that sin problem so I might have that connection, that oneness with you. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. Thank you for that desire to be with me. I desire to be with you, not just here on this earth, but for eternity with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you. In Jesus' name.